Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem by Avram Goldar, and today Maseches Gittin, Daf Lamed Tes, the fourth parak HaShaleach. The Zichud Maseches Gittin program has been generously sponsored by Zichud Nishmas Chaya Hadas Basender. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in the Braisa, HaMakdish Abdo Ein Molin Bo. If one is Makdish a slave, one does not transgress Me'ila through benefiting from the slave. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Molin B'Sa'aro, one transgresses Me'ila through benefiting from his hair. The Gemara establishes that everyone agrees the slave becomes hektish, but is not subject to me'ilah because a slave is considered like land, which is excluded from me'ilah. The Machlokas is explained, B'sa'aro ha'omer l'gazes k'miflike. They're arguing about hair which is ready to be cut. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds k'gazuz dami. It's considered as if it's already cut and no longer considered land, and thus subject to me'ilah. And the Tanakhama holds it is not considered cut. The Gemara suggests this Malchokas parallels another regarding if one must swear about a claim about grapevine. Their dispute was about anabim ha'omdos libatzer, grapes that are ready to be harvested. Rabbi Meir holds kapasuros damyan. They're considered already harvested and subject to swearing because only land is excluded. And the Chamim hold they are still considered land and he does not swear. The Gemara says that the two Machlokasim may not necessarily be parallel, since Rabbi Meir may consider only grapes detached, because the longer they remain on the vine, the worse they become. But he may agree not to consider hair already cut, since it continues to improve as it remains attached. Point number two, on the previous daf, Rav said that one who's mafkir a slave, the slave goes free but still requires to get shichur. Here Ula quotes the same from Rabbi Yochanan. Ula was challenged from a brisa. Gershem meis ubizbuzu Yisrael nechosov. If a convert without heirs died, and Jews seized his onerous possessions, vahiu behen havadim, and among his possessions were slaves, ben gedolim ben katanim kanu atzman b'nei chorin. Both the adult and minor slaves acquire themselves as free men. Abashul says the minor slaves cannot acquire themselves, and anyone may acquire them. So we see that slaves can be fully free without a get shichur. Ula rejected the question. Rav Nachman explains that he holds Avdo de Ger ki ishto. A convert slave is like his wife based on the Gezer Shava. Ma ishto mishtolech is below get, just as his wife is released without a get when he dies. Af avada mishtolechim below get. So too his slaves are released without a get shichur when he dies. This is not the case with the slaves of an ordinary Jew who are inherited by his heirs. The Gemara notes, however, that if a Jew is mafkir his slave and then dies, the slave would go free without a get shichur since he's not inherited. And pointing with you, the Gemara quotes a brisa brought earlier in which Rebbe says about a slave who is hektish, afu nosin demei atzmo v'yotze, he can even give his own value to the treasurer and go free, b'fneishu kamochrulo, because it's like the treasurer is selling the slave to himself. This is disputed by Rabbi Shimon, who says in the name of Rabbi Kiva, Yachol ye kesef gomer ba. One might think that paying money completes a slave woman's freedom, kederach sheshtar gomer ba, the way a get shichur completes her freedom. So the Torah teaches otherwise in the parsha discussing shivcha charufa, designated slave woman in which a Jew has relations with a partially freed slave woman who is designated to another man. After describing her being partially freed with money, the Torah concludes that the adulterers are not put to death, kilo chupasa, because she was not emancipated with a get shichur. This specification teaches shtar gomer ba, ve'ina kesef gomer ba, only a document, meaning a get shichur, completes her freedom, but paying money does not complete her freedom. A marayim dispute whom the halacha follows. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, it was taught in a brisa, ha'maktish avdo ein molin bo, one who's maktish a slave, one does not transgress me'ilah through benefiting from the slave. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, molin b'sa'aro, one transgresses me'ilah through benefiting from his hair. The Gemara establishes that everyone agrees the slave becomes hektish, but is not subject to me'ilah because a slave is considered like land, which is excluded from me'ilah. The Machlokas is explained, B'sa'aro ha'omer l'gazes k'miflike. They're arguing about hair which is ready to be cut. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds k'gazuz dami. It's considered as if it's already cut and no longer considered land, and thus subject to me'ilah. And the Tanakhama holds it is not considered cut. The Gemara suggests this Malchokas parallels another regarding if one must swear about a claim about grapevine. Their dispute was about anabim ha'omdos libatzer, grapes that are ready to be harvested. Rabbi Meir holds kapasuros damyan. They're considered already harvested and subject to swearing because only land is excluded. And the Chamim hold they are still considered land and he does not swear. The Gemara says that the two Machlokasim may not necessarily be parallel, since Rabbi Meir may consider only grapes detached, because the longer they remain on the vine, the worse they become. But he may agree not to consider hair already cut, since it continues to improve as it remains attached. Point number two, on the previous daf, Rav said that one who's mafkir a slave, the slave goes free but still requires to get shichur. Here Ula quotes the same from Rabbi Yochanan. Ooh, it's challenged from a brisa. Gershom meis ubizbazu Yisrael nechosav. If a convert without heirs died, and Jew seized his onerous possessions, vahiyu behen havadim, and among his possessions were slaves, ben gedolim ben katanim kanu atzman b'nei chorin. Both the adult and minor slaves acquired themselves as free men. Abashul says the minor slaves cannot acquire themselves, and anyone may acquire them. So we see that slaves can be fully free without a get shichur. Ul rejected the question. Rav Nachman explains that he holds Avdo de Ger ki ishto. A convert slave is like his wife based on a gezer shava. My ishto mishtolech is below get, just as his wife is released without a get when he dies. Af avada mishtolchim below get. So too his slaves are released without a get shichur when he dies. This is not the case with the slaves of an ordinary Jew who are inherited by his heirs. The Gemara notes, however, that if a Jew is mafkir his slave and then dies, the slave would go free without a get shechur since he's not inherited. And pointing me through, the Gemara quotes a brisa brought earlier in which Rebbe says about a slave who is hektish, afu nosin demei atzmo v'yotze. He can even give his own value to the treasurer and go free, b'fneishu kamochrulo, because it's like the treasurer is selling the slave to himself. This is disputed by Rabbi Shimon, who says in the name of Rabbi Kiva, Yachol ye kesef gomer ba. One might think that paying money completes a slave woman's freedom, kederch sheshtar gomer ba, the way a get shechur completes her freedom. So the Torah teaches otherwise in the partially discussing shivcha charufa, designated slave woman in which a Jew has relations with a partially freed slave woman who is designated to another man. After describing her being partially freed with money, the Torah concludes that the adulterers are not put to death, kilo hupasa, because she was not emancipated with a get shechur. This specification teaches shtar gomer ba, ve'ina kesef gomer ba, only a document, meaning a get shechur, completes her freedom, but paying money does not complete her freedom. A marayim dispute whom the halacha follows. All right, so now we go to Simmer Daf Lamed Tes, and her standard simmon is a letter, and we often use a mailman in the simmon. So here goes. The master who is makdish his mailman slave with long hair, ready to be cut, had him deliver a message to the recently deceased ger's slave that he's free and doesn't need a get, since he's considered like the ger's wife. And then to bring a get shichur to the shivcha charufa, because paying money alone doesn't complete her freedom. Once again, slow motion. The master was makdish his mailman slave. Mailman? That must be run off. Lamed Tes. Letter. Mailman. The master was makdish his mailman slave with long hair, ready to be cut. Which reminds us, it was taught in Braisa, makdish avdo ain't moling bo. If one is makdish his slave, one does not transgress me'ila through benefiting from the slave. Rav Mishum Gamliel says, moling besaro, one transgresses me'ila through benefiting from his hair. The Gemara establishes that everyone agrees. The slave becomes hektish, but is not subject to me'ila because the slave is considered like land, which is excluded from me'ila. The Machlokas is explained, besaro omed ligazes k'mifuge. They're arguing about hair which is ready to be cut. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds kagazus dami. It's considered as if it's already cut and no longer considered land and thus subject to me'ila. And the Tana Kama holds it's not considered cut. So the master was makdish his mailman slave with long hair, ready to be cut, had him deliver a message to the recently deceased ger's slave that he's free and doesn't need a get since he's considered like the ger's wife. Which reminds Gemara relates the sheet to that avda the ger ki ishto, a convert slave is like his wife based on a gezer shava. My ishto mishtalech is below get, just as his wife is released without a get when he dies, of avada mishtalchim below get, so too his slaves are released without a get shichur when he dies. This is not the case with the slaves of an ordinary Jew who are inherited by his heirs. The Gemara notes, however, that if a Jew is mafkir a slave and then dies, the slave would go free without a get shichur since he's not inherited. So the master was makdish his mailman slave with long hair, ready to be cut, had him deliver a message to the recently deceased ger slave that he's free and doesn't need a get, since he's considered like the ger's wife, and then to bring a get shichur to the shivcha charufa, because paying money alone does not complete her freedom, which reminds us that only a get shichur and not paying money completes the freedom of a shivcha charufa. So once again, the master was makdish his mailman slave with long hair, ready to be cut, had him deliver a message to the recently deceased ger slave that he's free and doesn't need a get since he's considered like the ger's wife, and then to bring a get shichur to the shivcha charufa because paying money alone doesn't complete her freedom. All right, so now it's time for four blabat chazar. Daf Lamed Hey. So the simon for Daf Lamed Hey is a children's choir singing la la la. So here goes. After the cute little children's choir, that must be more on Daf Lamed Hey, a children's choir singing la la la. after the cute little children's choir in the green outfit sang the "While Manas Don't Swear" song, while reenacting the accidental baking of a gold dinar and bread, and the sudden death of a child, which reminds us, on the previous daf, the Mishnah taught the basin refrained from allowing an almana to swear before collecting her ksuba, that it wasn't prepaid, until Ram Gamliel decreed that the almana vows whatever the Yesomim wish and collects her ksuba. The Gemara relates the incident that led to this. A man once deposited a gold dinar with an almana, who later accidentally baked it into bread and gave it to a poor person. When she couldn't find it, she swore to the lender that one of her children should die if she benefited at all from it, and subsequently, a child died. The Gemara explains that an almana who toils to care for the orphans is more likely to rationalize swearing falsely that she has not collected, feeling entitled to payment for her efforts. So, after the cute little children's choir in their green outfits sang the "While Manas Don't Swear" song, while reenacting the accidental baking of a gold dinar and bread and the sudden death of a child, a boy sang a solo pretending to be a remarried almana vowing to the orphans to collect her ksuba, which reminds us, Rav Huna says, that an almana vows to the Yesomim only if she is not remarried, but if she remarried, we do not have her vow, and she cannot cut her ksuba. The vow does not prove anything because her second husband can revoke it, as opposed to a vow before marriage, which he cannot revoke. Rav Nachman argues and says, afil nises, she may vow to collect even after she's remarried because the vow is made publicly in front of 10 people, and he holds that a neder made publicly cannot be revoked by the husband. So, after the cute little children's choir in their green outfits sang the "While Manas Don't Swear" song, while reenacting the accidental baking of a gold dinar and bread, and the sudden death of a child, a boy sang a solo pretending to be a remarried almana vowing to the orphans to collect her ksuba, who then details all their circumstances on the neder to get a heter from a chacham, which reminds us, we machokas, one must detail a neder for a chacham's heter. On one hand, sometimes the person might cut out some of the details of his account, and the heter will be invalid. On the other hand, Rav Papa says one must detail his neder to a chacham, Mishum Milsa de Isura, because a neder may have been to prevent a prohibited matter, such as our case, a potential theft. It's therefore critical that the chacham is informed about the cause of the neder. Daf Lamed Vav, so the simmer Daf Lamed Vav is a lulav. So here goes. The two witnesses who proudly use large exotic green quills that looked like lulavim, that must be learned off Lamed Vav, lulav. The two witnesses who proudly use large exotic green quills that looked like lulavim to sign on a get because of tikkun olam, which reminds us, the Mishnah daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis taught the aiding sign on a get for tikkun olam. The Gemara objects that it's a derisive requirement to sign all documents. Rabbi answers that the Tanna's Rabbi Elazar holds Edi Masiri Karti, and signatures are never biblically required, and the Pasuk's only giving advice. The rabbis instituted that Edim sign on a get because sometimes the Edim to delivery will die, or sometimes they'll travel abroad, leaving her unable to prove she was divorced. Signing the get provides her with proof of divorce. Rav Yosef says that the Tanna can be Rabbi Meir, who requires signing biblically. Still, this derisive requirement is satisfied without writing their names, and they decree that witnesses should write their names when signing gittin. So, the two witnesses who proudly use large exotic green quills that looked like lulavim to sign on a get because of tikkun olam, and then use them to fill in their proofs bowls, which reminds us, a Mishnah teaches the background of Hillel Zaken's enacting proofs bowl. He saw that people resisted lending each other, fearing that the loan would be canceled by Shemitah, and thus violated the commandment of refraining to lend money. So the two witnesses who proudly used large exotic green quills that looked like lulavim to sign on a get because of tikkun olam, and then use them to fill in their proofs bowls, were shocked and dismayed when they heard Beis Din declare them hefker, making them hefker, which reminds us, Rav explains that proofs bowl is effective even according to the opinion that Shemitah nowadays cancel loans, because biblically, hefker, basin, hefker. What basin declares onerous is actually onerous. Two different sources for hefker, basin, hefker are brought. Daf Lamed Zayin, so the simmer Daf Lamed Zayin is laser tag. So here goes. The Baal Chov shooting his green laser tag gun at borrowers with loan documents not canceled by Shemitah, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses two types of loans that are not canceled by Shemitah. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish hold that a loan in a shtar sheyesh bo achrayus is not canceled by Shemitah because the payment is considered already in possession of the lender. And a malves chaver malus al mashkon, one who lends his friend money on collateral, does not relinquish the loan in Shemitah. Rav explains that a lender acquires a movable collateral considering the payment in his possession. So, the Baal Chov shooting his green laser tag gun at borrowers with loan documents not canceled by Shemitah was happy to put down his gun and say, I'm relinquishing the debt to a borrower who approached him to repay, who then responded, even so, I wish to pay, which reminds us. A different Mishnah in Shviyah states regarding a borrower repaying a debt canceled by Shemitah, Sarak Shiyomar Mishamadani, the creditor must say to him, I'm relinquishing the debt. And if the debtor said, even so, I wish to pay, he may accept the money from him, as it says, Vezed Dvar HaShemitah. And this is the matter of relinquishment. Dvar is darshaned as speaking, dibor, teaching that the creditor must verbalize the relinquishment before accepting payment. So the Balkhov shooting his green laser tag gun to borrowers with loan documents, not canceled by Shmita, was happy to put down his gun and say, "I'm relinquishing the debt," to a borrower who approached him to repay, who then responded, "Even so, I wish to pay," and then gave a laser tag vest and gun to a captive slave who had been ransomed to be a free man and told him, "Enjoy these. You're a free man," which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Evich Nishba Ufada'u, a slave who was taken captive and other Jews ransomed him. Imushum Evid Yishtabit, if they ransom him to be a slave, he's enslaved. Imushum Ben Chorin will Yishtabit, if they ransom him to be a free man, he's not enslaved. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that in either case he returns to enslavement. Two different pshatim are given for this Mishnah. Daf Lamed Ches. So the Simmer Daf Lamed Ches is a double lach, a liquid, and we use chicken soup. So here goes. The Jew who is acquired by an idolater to make his delicious chicken soup, that must be warned off, Lamed Ches, a davar lach. The Jew who is acquired by an idolater to make his delicious chicken soup and work next to idolaters who were acquired as well, which reminds us, although idolaters cannot acquire each other's bodies as ordinary property, they can acquire their labor based on a kavach homer. An idolater can even acquire a Jew for his labor, as taught in Kedushin Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, so certainly he can acquire another idolater. So the Jew who is acquired by an idolater to make his delicious chicken soup and work next to idolaters who are acquired as well, was shocked when he saw the promiscuous a slave woman belonging to a Jew next door who also made chicken soup was freed, which reminds us. The Gemara relates there was a slave woman in Pupendisa with whom men were sinning. Abaya said, if not for Rabbi Yehuda saying in the name of Shmuel, Kol Meshachre Avdo Over Ba'ase, anyone who frees a slave transgresses a positive commandment of Olam Behem Tovodu, you shall work them forever, I would force her master to free her so she could marry a Jew who would guard her. Ravina said that Rabbi Yehuda would agree to free her in this case, Mishum Milsed the Isur, because of the matter of prohibitions transgressed. So the Jew who was acquired by an adult to make his delicious chicken soup and work next to idolaters who were acquired as well, was shocked when he saw the promiscuous slave woman belonging to a Jew next door who also made chicken soup was freed simply by her master being Makdisha, which reminds us, Rabbah said in Rav's name, Hamakdish Avdo Yatzalacheros, someone is Makdish his slave, the slave goes free. He explains, Gufi lo Kaddish, his body cannot be sanctified since he's neither fit for a sacrifice nor his building materials, with the Melo Kamra, and he didn't say that he was being Makdish the value of the slave to donate that amount, so this too was not his intent. Rather, the Lahavi Am Kaddish Kamra, he was saying he should become one of the holy nation, the Jews. Alright, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which step do we have a question whether one transgresses Me'ilah by benefiting from his hektish slave's hair that's ready to be cut? That's on Duff. Lama Tess. Good number 2. Which step do we have a question whether Gilead Dat Megitta Milsihi, whether a show of intent to avoid a get is enough to avoid a get? That's on Duff. Lama Dalad. Good number 3. Which step do we have a question when one is Makdish his slave if the Eved goes free? That's on Duff. Lamed Ches. Good number 4. Which stuff do we discuss the status of a captive slave who is ransomed by others? That's on Duff. Lamed Zion. Good number 5. Which of them when a convert slave is like his wife, that just as his wife is released without a get when he dies, so too his slaves are released without a get shichur when he dies? That's on Duff. Amates. Good number 6. Which of them when the two loans which are not canceled by Shemitah are Shtar Sheyesh Bo Achrayas V'Hamal V'Hamalos? That's on Duff. Lamed Zayin. Good number 7. Which step do we discuss the prohibition to free a slave and the exception for Isser? For example, the case of the promiscuous slave woman. That's on Dov. Lamed Ches. Good number 8. Which step do we mark is whether the husband can void some of the shluchim that were appointed as part of a group of 10? That's on Dov. Lamed Gimel. Good number 9. Which of the one that only gets shichrur and not paying money completes the freedom of a shivcha charufa? That's on Dov. Lamed Ches. Good. And number 10. Which stuff are two different reasons given as to why Edim sign on a get for Tikkun Olam? That's on Duff. Lamed Vav. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is everybody. Ram Goldham Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.